9:31, so let's go ahead and get started. Welcome to the new quarter. My name's Mitch Goetz. I want to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity to teach a class. So I'm excited about it, and hopefully I get you excited about it. So if we have any visitors today, I just want to say if you're looking for a church home, I highly recommend the Sanford Church of Christ. It's a great place to worship, great place to work. We have sound preaching and teaching. Thank you, Brian, for that, along with the men that teach. Definitely defend the truth. So myself, I've been worshiping here for 6 months, had a great time, experienced some spiritual growth, and been worshiping with my family, Sharon and Ashley. Speaking of them, they are in Peru. They're enjoying the winter of 70 degrees there in Peru. But they left on, I took them to the airport early Friday morning. They arrived Friday night. They met up with 70 people from around the nation, meeting in Peru, along with 70 Peruvians, and they'll be doing the work. So the work begins today, and what they do is during the day, they hold a medical clinic for today, the church, and then the rest of the week for the public. And then after that, at night, they have Bible studies and kind of like VBS, except in the winter there, where they actually have classes for kids and adults. And then they have another group that outside of the medical mission that actually goes out and knocks doors, inviting people to attend at night. So what's exciting about that is every year they've had baptisms there. So somebody is walking around Peru today, and by the end of the week, they'll be a newborn Christian. And that's what's exciting. All right, so before we begin class, what I have here in my hand is an owner's manual. Okay? Tells you all the details about your vehicle, tells you what all the buttons mean, the lights, how to run it, what type of oil and fluids to use. So I just have a basic question. How many of you, when you purchase a vehicle or rent a vehicle, read that book cover to cover? Okay, I don't see any hands, and that's what I expect. So what I want to do is I just want to create a list right now. Why not? Because there's a lot of safety in there. There's a lot of knowledge, a lot of information that's good to know. So for this owner's manual that most everyone has in their in their glove box, why don't we read that cover to cover? Please tell me why. I want to understand.
Too long.
Too long. I'm just going to take some notes. Anything else? Okay, boring, right? Okay. Yes? Don't need. And why is that? Maybe because you already know it?
I say most of it.
Okay.
Like if I want to change the oil, I'm going to change the oil, and you know how many quarts I might pull it open, go right to the oil section, get exactly what I need, but I'm not going to read the whole thing in the end, find out how much oil to put in.
Okay, so you get what you need. Okay? All right, so too long, boring, don't need the whole thing. Anything else? All right. So that's the introduction to the class. All right, so the topic is the old law. The old law is found right there in Exodus 20 to Numbers 10:10. So now, same question, but about the old law. What comes to mind when I say we're going to study the old law, in particularly the book of Leviticus, which is the handbook for the priests? What do you think of there?
The law of Moses.
Okay, it's the law of Moses.
Some of it's not relevant today because animal sacrifices.
Okay, not relevant. Okay, let me go back to the list of this. Is it too long? I mean, that's a lot of stuff. And it covers the entire New Testament plus, or Old Testament plus the Gospels. It's a lot of stuff. Does anyone think maybe it's boring, parts of it, about how to cut open a bowl? Okay. And then, like we said earlier, maybe we only just need to get specific parts, the parts we need. All right, so, all right, the other thing is, maybe we think it's dead because it was nailed to the cross. Maybe we think it's irrelevant because it no longer, parts of it no longer apply to us today. And then, kind of like this manual, a lot of times I don't read it because I already know it all, right? So, as a result, maybe we think we know it all. We attended class in fourth grade downstairs and we studied it there. Now we know it all, right? So maybe we have some pride issues. So in a recent sermon on that Brian gave us on Noah's Ark on Sunday morning, we talked about baptism, and he could have easily just glossed over Noah's Ark. We all know about Noah's Ark. But instead, I liked what he did. He went right into the Old Testament and we read the passage. Why would we do that? Because, yeah, we know the gist of the story, but we are people and we forget the details. And it's the details that matter. We have a very detailed God, we're going to find out in the old law. And so we really need to be conscientious of that. The other thing that, another reason that we may not study the old law so much is I don't think anybody who's probably studied with anyone in a Bible study had somebody come up to them and say, yeah, I've just read the book of Leviticus and now I'm ready to be baptized. I don't think you ever have had that. So that's why we always obviously study the New Testament with the people that we're trying to convert. So these are just a few things. So thank you for your ideas on this. Thank you for your ideas on the old law. And those are just some of my thoughts of why perhaps we don't study it as much as we possibly could and probably should. All right, so today we're all New Testament Christians. Why should we study the old law? Yes.
Brother, I was hoping you would ask that question because about year 2008, by the grace of God, not boasting, but giving God the glory, I started to read the old law from Genesis.
Okay.
Anybody, anywhere, once I read those books, my understanding of the New Testament became alive. My faith skyrocketed to the point that every year since year 2008, I have been reading from Genesis to Revelation every year. And once again, you know, faith comes by hearing.
Yep. And hearing by the Word of God.
All scriptures are given by God. And we just can't leave out the old covenant because it's a part of the Bible. Yeah.
Yep. So perfect. You basically told us a couple things. It helps us to better understand God, right? What he likes, what he dislikes. I think you probably say to that. Pretty much, I think that's what you meant.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And then also, it sounds like you gained a better appreciation of the new
yes.
covenant, and you understand the new covenant better.
Yes.
Perfect. Perfect.
Knowing history, like to understand history.
The history of God, the world, God, and how the new covenant came into being. Perfect. Anything else? How about a simple one? God saved it for us. He didn't have to save it for us. So if he saved it for us and it becomes part of the Bible, then we should be looking at it. Okay? Another thing that I thought of is Jesus was perfect without blemish. So don't we want to understand how he lived on earth? What he did? What he didn't do? Between the ages of 12 and 30, there's no biblical recordings about Jesus. So, but yet he remained sinless. So let's find out. What did he do on a daily basis? I mean, about pushing a mule out of a hole and things like that. That's the type of thing that we want to see what happen here. The other thing is it's a tutor and a schoolmaster. So if you turn to Galatians 3:24. Galatians 3:24, therefore the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. So this was all, the law was just preparing the people for Christ. If Christ would have popped in without the old law, it would have been totally confusion. So this gives it order. It gives us what sin, it tells us what sin is and prepares the people. The other thing is, Regina said, it brings the New Testament to life. For example, Peter's trance found in Acts 10, clean versus unclean animals. That is a reference to the old law. And so we should understand exactly what that means and how big of a deal that really was. The other thing in John chapter 7, Jesus attended the Feast of Booths. Okay, what is that? What did he do? How long did it last? That's the old law. So Jesus, again, was sinless based on the old law. So let's find out what he was doing. And then this is an interesting one. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40. If you'd turn there, please. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. 40 to 42. It's about the leper and Jesus. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Okay, so we have a few people in the health profession here. You have a patient that comes in, they're sick one day, they come back another day, and all of a sudden they're feeling much better. So would you say, hey, you're clean now? Or would you say, hey, you're healed now? A big difference, okay? So being clean is all a reference to the old law. And we'll talk about Jesus touching a leper and what that meant too, okay? So we'll get into those things in another week. Then another one, it crept into our class this past Wednesday night. And let me just read it. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Brian led us in an excellent Bible study there. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. This is Paul talking about his last days on earth, preparing for death. So 2 Timothy 4:6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering at the time of my departure, and the time of my departure has come. Drink offering, what is that? What does that mean? Again, that's reference to the old law. So we need to understand, to bring this verse to life, we need to understand, what does he mean by that? But the audience at that day understood it, because they had been practicing the old law. Today, we don't practice the old law, so if we don't read the old law, we don't understand it. So we need to understand it. And then this is a big one here in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. If you would turn there, this is Luke 2, verse 21. This is right after the birth of Jesus. And I'll read 21 through 24. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by an angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. All right, that's all the old law right there. And so let me break it down. So in verse 21, and when 8 days had passed before circumcision, old law, okay? They're following, Mary and Joseph are following the old law to a T here. And then it talks about, in verse 22, and when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses, all right, days of purification, doesn't tell you how many days, but we're going to go to the old law and we're going to find out how many days. So we'll break that one down. And then verse 23, the firstborn's given to God. That's a command in the old law. And then in verse 24, their sacrifice is two turtle doves or two young pigeons. That tells us, based on the old law, that they were a very poor family. Okay? So the scripture doesn't say it, but when you know the old law or have some reference to it, it brings this to life. We know so much more. So that's kind of what the theme here. Okay, one other thing, Hebrews 7:22. And this is probably the key of the whole thing. Hebrews 7:22 says, so much the more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. And then in Hebrews 8:6-7, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. Okay, so we see the word better here. All right, so they're comparing it to the old law. But if we don't know the old law, then we don't know how much better it really is. So, for example, I'm going to pick on Terry. Terry has a really nice car. Looks very nice. It looks very fast, very loud. It should be in a car show. Okay? Very nice car. I have an old truck that's 22 years old, 328,000 miles, and it's peeling paint and the seats are ripped. Now, if I'm crazy enough, I'll go up to Terry and say, my truck is better than your car. Okay? So after he tells me that I need a new prescription, then the next thing he's going to do is he's going to say, why, and prove it. All right. Can't we do the same thing to the Bible itself? It's saying better on all these verses. Can't we say to the Bible, why, and prove it? So we go back to the old law, and we see what they had. We know the new law because we're studying that on a regular basis. And then we can understand why, and it'll prove it right there. So I hope that's making sense. Okay, so let's see here. Today's the introduction. Well, that's small up there. So I just want to make sure that we're not just going to talk about 10 weeks and the 10 commandments. We're not doing that. There's a lot more to the old law than just that. There's sacrifice, everything above the red line, that's what we're going to talk about over this quarter. Sacrifices, the priesthood, purity laws, feast and Sabbath, and then the two lines that are blue lines about the land and the Sabbath years and Jubilee year. Those are the things that we're gonna look at. So one other thing I skipped here. There's 613 commandments in the Old Testament, and most of them are the old law. 40% of them are thou shall, and the balances are thou shall not. So if we go verse by verse, we would need to cover 47 of these per week for the entire quarter. All right, so you ready to buckle up? Ready to do this? I'd be crazy to do that, right? So no, we're not going to do that. So what we're going to do is, obviously we can't cover the entire law in only one quarter. So I've just chosen things that I consider important and interesting. I just had to make a decision. And so what you see here is it. And then this is kind of the outline. Today's the introduction. We're going to talk about laws of purity for clean and unclean animals, ceremonial uncleanness, sacrifices, the priesthood, the Day of Atonement. That's a big deal. That was their most holy of holies. The Jewish holiday schedule, which is their feast. And then we're going to talk about their holy days, sabbatical, and Jubilee years. And then one I've never taught on but excited about is Melchizedek. I learned a lot on that one. So I'm excited to talk about that. And then Hebrews. You can't talk about the Old Testament if you don't go into Hebrews. That Hebrews writer obviously lived the Old Law and knew the Old Law in and out, and also understood the New Law, the New Covenant. They were really smart. All right, so, and then, you know, this isn't a class where I'm just going to tell you and all that. I want discussion. So feel free to raise your hand, discuss. If things get into a lot of discussion, we can adjust this. We don't have to cover all the topics. I'm more concerned about quality, that we understand, and we don't leave confused, rather than quantity of, oh, we have a list and I have to make it through the list. Okay? The other thing is, each week, we're not just going to stay in the Old Law. The whole purpose of this is so that we better understand the New Law. So each week we're going to talk about verses that pertain to what we talked about in the Old Law that week, to better understand the New Law, kind of like what we did moments ago. And then, not every class, but when we have time, I'm going to talk about peculiar people with peculiar laws. And I'll explain that when we get to it. Okay, so let's look at the hierarchy of the Old Law. So if we turn over to Leviticus 26:15, this is God speaking. Leviticus 26:15. Yes. Yes.
His grace and mercy. Jesus had compassion when God has compassion. Because it also shows the other side, that God is also a God that brings judgment. And he did inside the law and inside the other place in the law.
Yeah. Yep, you're spot on. I mean, we learn about God, what he likes, what he dislikes, and it prepares the people for Jesus. Yeah, perfect. And we'll talk about some of that here briefly today. Leviticus 26:15, God says, if instead you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances, so as to not carry out all my commandments and to break my covenant. That's a lot of stuff. So drawing a picture of that verse, here's what I've come up with. We've got the covenant is the overarching umbrella, and that's between the nation of Israel and God, followed by the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai, and then you have the ordinances and the statutes in there too. So this is just kind of a picture of what that verse might actually look like. So to the ordinances and statutes are many detailed individual laws, and they're written underneath each of the Ten Commandments. So if we compare that to today and how we live today in the U.S., you've got the nation of the USA as the umbrella, and underneath that, you've got the U.S. Constitution flanked by the federal laws and the state and local laws. So that's kind of a, not exact, but it's kind of a comparison that we might easily understand. All right, so I already said this, but who was the Old Law written to? Israelites, yeah. And that's found in Exodus 34:27-8. So written to them, God's chosen people, not for us.
Brother, may I
get, yeah.
What are those words on the pillows of each one of the covenants? What are those words? I'm interested.
Underneath the Ten Commandments, or?
Yeah, underneath the covenant, and then
oh, ordinances and statutes.
I got you. Ordinances and statutes.
Yeah. And that comes right out of that verse that we read. Okay.
And then under the U.S., what is that?
Federal laws, state and local laws.
Thank you.
That, not exact, but just a rough comparison. Okay. So did the Old Law apply to the Gentiles? No, because it was strictly for the Jews. So then what did the Gentiles have? And so if we go to Romans chapter 2. Could somebody read Romans chapter 2, verses 12 through 16?
For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For with Gentiles who do not have the law, do instinctively the things of the law. These, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience hearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus.
Okay. Thank you, Dwayne. So in verse 15, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. So when I read this, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, please, but when I read this, it tells me that they had their conscience. Yes, go ahead. Okay.
So even from Adam and Eve today, man was expected to do right. And Cain murdered Abel.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't because he did thou shalt not kill. It was just known by nature of man and the law of morality that's wrong.
Okay. So law of morality and your conscience, right?
But I would also say, though, uh-huh. It's not as though God just left it up to us to invent. They lived under the patriarchal system, which is where God would give laws to patriarchs, who then would give that to their families.
Okay.
And so I think this is an important point because the conscience, as we all know, can become corrupted.
Yeah.
Genesis chapter 6, they thought evilly continued. That's their conscience.
Yep. Right?
Their conscience had been corrupted through their evil intention. So I think... I just think it's an important distinction that God didn't leave them without any laws. So in the Garden of Eden, even with Adam and Eve, God gave them a law. You shall not eat the tree in the midst of the garden.
Yep.
You shall tend and care for the garden.
Yep.
Those were laws that Adam and Eve lived under. And of course, those, after they left, would have expanded.
Yep, okay. Thank you. Yeah, so the human conscience, as we talked, you know, it can be flexible. It can even be seared in 1 Timothy 4:2, like a brand with a branding iron. So, thank you for the patriarchal system and how they receive some guidance there. Okay, so now let's just talk about the word covenant. What does the word covenant actually mean? Anybody?
Is that agreement?
Yeah, perfect. Agreement or a promise. That's what...
A promise.
Or promise, yep. That's what Webster's Dictionary says. Okay? So, is this the old law, is this the first covenant in the Bible?
No.
That's right. No. Okay, so here's a slide that shows... some other covenants, a covenant with Noah, a covenant with Abraham, and then, of course, the Mosaic Law covenant. I also read about the covenant in the Garden of Eden. So you had a few different ones before this. Notice on the right, the far right, each one has a sacrifice. Okay? So I just want to make that. We'll get into the Mosaic Law and the sacrifices. But New Covenant, you know who the sacrifice was. So nothing's changed. It's just the people have changed. All right. So now let's turn over to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19, verses 3 through 8. May I have a volunteer to read that?
And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on the eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So Moses came and called for the elders of people and laid before them all the words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. Yeah, so what I want to point out there is in verse 5 is the key verse. It's a conditional statement. If then. Now then, if, and then later on, you see the word then. So this is exactly what Doug was teaching us in the first quarter in the book of Jeremiah. It was a conditional statement. And so here it is again. So if, in verse 5, if you obey my voice and keep my commandment, then four things happen after that. And so this is kind of what it looks like in pictorial form. So if you obey with the covenant, then you become God's possession, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, and blessings for obedience. So based on our knowledge, did the Israelites always obey? No, they failed many times. So there's a couple verses here, a couple passages in which they didn't obey. Exodus 32, verses 9 and 10. I'll read it. Then the Lord says to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Now then, let me alone, and my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation." And then in verse 14, so the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he said he would do to his people. So obviously they did something here that God did not like, and it made him want to destroy them. All right, so if we go to Leviticus 26, this will describe the consequences if Israel did not obey God. Okay. Leviticus 26, 14 through 18. Could I have a volunteer read that one? 26, 14 through 18. Anybody?
But if you will not listen to me and will not do all these commandments, if you spurn my statutes, and if your soul abhors my rules, so that you will not do all my commandments, but break my covenant, then I will do this to you. I will visit you with panic, with wasting disease and fever that consume the eyes and make the heart ache. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for for your enemy shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be struck down before your enemies. Those who hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when none pursues you. And if in spite of this you will not listen to me, then I will discipline you again sevenfold for your sin.
All right. Yeah, that's good. Yep, that's good. Thank you, Brian. So there's a lot of bad stuff that occurs if they don't obey. So in the new covenant, if we don't obey, our consequence is spiritual death. I mean, that's a bad thing too, right? So if then, okay. All right. So just want to make you aware of what their consequences were.
Can I?
Yes.
I just want to make one comment.
Yeah.
About, isn't it interesting that a covenant is an agreement based on promises, right? And like you said, it's if then. So once they broke the covenant the first time, that breaks the covenant. Yet God, through his grace and mercy, said, okay, I'm going to give you a way to redeem the covenant. So, as we mentioned, Israel broke the covenant time and time again, and yet God, in order to maintain the covenant, made a way for them to make redemption for their sin.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
And so, people, you want to see the grace of God, that's one of the areas where God could have just cut them off at the first breaking.
Yeah.
But he didn't do that.
Yeah, good point. Thank you, Brian. All right, so when was this covenant made? We find that in the book of Exodus. Let's see here. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 40 and 41. I'll just read that. Now the time that the sons of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years, and at the end of 430 years, to the very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out of the land of Egypt. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. So it was done after they left Egypt, and in Exodus 19, verse 1, in the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. So obviously Mount Sinai, we're aware that that's where the Ten Commandments were delivered. And then how about the number of people? That's found in Exodus 12:37. We won't read it, but what it says is 600,000 men besides women and children. So we're over 1 million people, probably closer to 2 million, but a lot of people involved here. Okay. So then the other question is, we know it's not the first covenant, and we also talked about patriarchal laws. So what other laws had been established prior to this covenant? Any? I'll just give you a few here. They're found in Exodus. We won't read them based on time, but the Passover. That was the 10th plague, and so that was a law. The firstborn of all beasts given to God, we read that earlier. That was in Exodus 13. The Sabbath day was Exodus 16. And then also in Genesis 17, the circumcision with Abraham. Those are some laws that were given beforehand. All right, so all the laws weren't given at the same time. So let me tell you about that. All right, so this is where kind of an outline of the old law in the Bible. So they had the prior laws before their departure from Egypt. They had the laws at Mount Sinai, including the Ten Commandments. That was 3 months after the departure from Egypt. And then Mount Sinai on the first month of the second year, to the 20th day of the second month of the second year, so in other words, 7 weeks. That's where Leviticus 1:1 to Numbers 10:10 was created, over a 7 week period in the second year. And then the book of Numbers basically talks about the wilderness wanderings and then the banks of the Jordan River. They had some more laws. So this right here just kind of shows the book of Exodus and where things occurred. Leviticus is nothing but all old law, handbook of the priests. Numbers, old law, life in the wilderness, and then Deuteronomy repeats the Ten Commandments in a nice, tidy place in chapter 5, and then also more old law. All right. All right, so who was the mediator of the old law?
Moses,
yeah. He's the one that went on top of Mount Sinai. And so now let's just talk briefly about old versus new and one reason why it's better. Moses was the mediator of the old law. Is Moses alive today? Okay, we know who the mediator of the new law, new covenant is. And we know Jesus is well and alive. He's seated at the right-hand side of God, and his enemies are under his feet. So isn't that very comforting? So that should get us all excited right there. And then this, I'll probably show this every week, this particular slide. Where'd my remote go? Can't find my remote. There it is. This is kind of a summary of what we're talking about this quarter. Again, the picture of the covenant with the Ten Commandments, the ordinances and the statutes. Basically, it all points, foreshadows and points to the Messiah, Jesus. That's all this is. And so that's what we want to uncover and reveal and remind ourselves. And that will allow us to basically understand that word better and become more zealous for the new covenant. So that's kind of what it's about. I think we're out of time, but any questions or comments today?
You remember when we read about in the old covenant how God's people were going to be a royal priesthood, how he elevated them? Well, God does that to us in the New Testament as well. In
that's right.
Peter, I just want to make that point.
That's right.
In the first chapter in the ninth verse, we are royal priesthood. We are
that's right.
A holy nation. Isn't that, I tell you what, that really excited me when I first read it. Who I am in Christ.
Yeah, and our mediator is better, and our priest is high priest is better, and we'll get into those details. It's exciting, it really is. It's old stuff, that's why it's called old law. But it's alive. We can understand it, and it brings the new covenant into life. Yeah, remember it is the living word of God. So. All right, well, thank you for your attention today. I appreciate it, and we'll come back next week. Next week, we're going to talk about clean and unclean animals. Okay?